The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, with new roles and sophisticated new job titles being created every day, some of the more traditional jobs are beginning to disappear. I mean, has a career guidance teacher ever suggested to you that you might become a cobbler or a thatcher? Probably not. Now, it can be down to new technologies or changing consumer demand or the growth of the disposable culture and fast fashion. So we thought we'd have a look at some of the trades and crafts that have stood the test of time so far and what the future might hold for them as the 21st century unfolds. Our reporter Josh Crosby met with blacksmiths, thatchers, lace makers and cobblers.
Well, thatching is one of the best insulators you can get. For anybody that's interested in, you know, crafts, it would be a wonderful craft to get into, but it's very hard on the body. Some people look at it with rose-tinted glasses.
You know, a stitch in time saves nine, so I think a lot of people are glad that the facility is here. Always a place for old cobblers, yeah.
People talk about mindfulness all the time now, so when you're making lace, it really brings you into the present moment. But I'm also a big believer in kind of the preservation of these traditional skills.
People always talk about my grandfather was a blacksmith or other was a blacksmith because there's romanticism about it. Anybody who comes to the workshop has great interest in the blacksmithing area. It's a very important part of the work, but it's not all of it.
Trades, skills and crafts that have been around for centuries. Hitting the anvil, dressing the straw, stretching leather and weaving lace. But how does one decide to take up these uncommon roles?
Hi Josh, my name is Brian Clegg here in Rathfarnham Shopping Centre, and we're operating here now since 1989, which is 33 years now.
And you do all sorts of, you do shoe repairs, key cutting, engraving. How did you get into this line of work, Brian?
Yeah, well, it's a family business. I learned it from my father. He was one of six brothers, and they're all in the business. They learned it from their own father, my grandfather. So it's going back a long time.
Are there many cobblers around now compared to when you first started out?
No, I know that there are less cobblers now than there were years ago. I mean, there are many factors. I think COVID had an effect of some people chose to retire. The business is not what it used to be, but then it's made it a more refined business then.
You picked up these skills from just being around your family in the workshop, but how do people nowadays get into this line of work? Are many people inquiring off you how they learn the skills?
Occasionally people might inquire, all right, but unfortunately there is no, you know, formal education in this, and there are some chaps who've come from abroad overseas recently and set up their own shops and are doing quite well, I believe, yeah.
As I look around here, you have the Singer sewing machines, you have machines that have stood the test of time, just like your skills. What are you working with here now today, Brian?
Yeah, so what I'm working today is, in fact, we have three stitching machines here, you know, for doing different jobs.
Now, I won't have a go on it. I'd end up taking my finger off ruin someone's prized possession. Yeah. But do you want to show me what's life in the day like of a master cobbler?
Yeah, this is called a treadle. And so we start off by hand and kick it on with our feet. That allows our hands to be free and to manoeuvre the machine around the shoe.
Right.
I had a funny incident there last week where, you know, we're now branching out into keys and that, and I had a funny incident last week where a guy came in with a pair of shoes shaped in a key, like a key. I didn't know what to do, you know.
The sight of a horseshoe door may be disappearing in many towns, but the work of a blacksmith is still very much needed. I took a visit to Bushy Park Ironworks, which is owned by Colin Bagnall and Edward Bisgood. Colin brought me around the workshop in Tallaght to show me some of the projects they're working on.
In the last few years, we've done a lot of restoration, and that comes from learning the trade over the years, trying to learn the old techniques that people did, and then the skills that you gather around you when you open a workshop and you get the work and other people come and want to work and be involved in it. And that's really, really satisfying. In the last year, we did Phoenix Park during COVID. We restored the eight entrances to Phoenix Park. Probably before that, we did a huge amount of staircases. We were in London before Brexit, two or three jobs a year sometimes. That was always very glamorous, but hard work.
There are fewer and fewer of your forges around the country, but what's business like for people who are entering?
A lot of them are solitary because a lot of, like all craftspeople, people work by themselves. It's unusual to find a business like we have. So it's hard work. Things start to wear out after a while. Knees, elbows, tennis elbow, eyesight, hearing, a lot of deaf blacksmiths.
Hearing, I can imagine. You're banging away all day.
Yeah.
I'm looking down at the workshop here now. Are there many guys signing up for this or just inquiring off you about the work?
There's lots of new young people coming into it because people want to make things and they miss working with their hands. There's a young guy who's just down here, Jack Murphy, and he's downstairs. You can have a word with him.
Yeah, I look forward to taking a look around, and I don't think I'll get the blacksmith and they go just yet.
Feel free to have a go. The fire's lit.
Take it all in.
My name's Jack Murphy. I'm from Boyle, County Roscommon.
And Jack, am I right in saying you're not long into it now? You're fresh in the door, yeah?
No, well, I qualified last year in Hereford in England, but I've been blacksmithing on my own really since I was 13, 14, around that age is when I got into it when I was very young.
And you had to travel to the UK to get the qualification?
I had to travel to UK to get the qualification in traditional ironwork skills, really. There's also a course that runs in Limerick, and you can basically learn the basics there.
You're working with your hands, with steel, with iron, since your early teens.
Yeah.
What was it that first got you interested in it?
Well, really, my father is an artist of sculpture, and he always had a workshop there doing bits and pieces, and then he did a lot of carpentry over a long time. So woodwork I started off with, really, and just messing around. And then I needed to figure out that when I was going carving or making stuff, I needed tools and couldn't really afford any fancy whittling knives or chisels. So I decided, I looked it up on YouTube and seen it, and you can actually make them yourself. So I started off and make my own tools like that. And then I said, well, you know what, I actually enjoy making the tools more than actually doing the woodwork. So that's where blacksmithing came out of.
From restoring landmark gates to creating unique sculptures, it's a busy, busy workshop over at Bushy Park Ironworks. A quieter setting, but a craft that is also rich in history, is the art of lace making. Fiona Harrington has been a lace maker for 10 years and tells me about the different techniques.
My mother was also a lace maker. She always made lace when we were kids. She would have made crochet lace. And then when we got a little older, she started making different types of lace, like bobbin lace and Carrickmacross lace. And I just became interested in it. It just kind of came back to me. I think I'd forgotten that my mother was a lace maker. And it just came back to me. And I started to research where I could learn how to make it. And I went down to Kenmare, to the Kenmare Lace and Design Centre. And I did an internship there and I learned how to make lace there.
In Ireland in particular, we have a connection with lace. Going back, like, Irish lace has its own style.
Oh, absolutely. So there's about 5 different styles of lace in Ireland that's kind of attributed to Ireland. They're made in very different ways. It was made all over the country, really, but there's certain places that's really, really connected to it, like Limerick, Youghal, Kenmare, Headford in Galway, and Inishmack Saint, and Clonus Lace, of course, in County Monaghan, and that also has Carrickmacross lace. So you've got 2 styles of lace that come from County Monaghan.
And for something that was done all over the country, present day, are there many other people like yourself making lace?
There's still a good few lace makers around. They operate in kind of small groups that are scattered around the country, really.
Over the past few years now, people upcycling, more awareness on fast fashion. What's the demand like for lace or general interest?
Well, I suppose the original purpose for lace was as a fashion fabric and also as like soft furnishing fabric for interiors. So you would have had tablecloths and pillowcases and bedspreads made from lace. That doesn't exist anymore because it's still very, very expensive to make. So really, I kind of see the position of handmade lace now as an art object. So trying to kind of place it within the context of contemporary art and design rather than as a fashion fabric.
On the art, talk to me about the projects you're working at the moment, or do you bring your own unique style to it?
One of the bigger projects I'm working at the moment is just this piece over here. It's a bobbin lace piece. So bobbin lace is made by winding threads onto small wooden bobbins and then weaving the bobbins back and forth to create stitches.
There's dozens of pieces there. Like, you could get lost if you didn't know what you were looking at.
There is. So there's about 120 bobbins that are used in this particular piece there. And that piece is about 20 centimetres in width. So it'll just give you some idea of kind of how much is needed in order to create a relatively small piece of lace.
Whether it's working with lace or steel, those who are carrying on the crafts say it's not slowing down anytime soon. When it comes to putting a roof over our heads, thatched cottages are not only picturesque, but involve plenty of skill. Peter Childs is a master thatcher and is based in County Meath. I met him on one of his sites to see how popular thatching is today.
Thatching is a craft, it's an art. You're creating a picture on somebody's house.
And are there many people doing this kind of work in Ireland? Like, have you got much competition basically?
No. No. Oh, well, I have got a bit of competition. Yeah, I'm only messing. So you've got a group of thatchers that are over here that have been taught the right way. Wow. And thatching the same way as it. And they're at the top of their tree as well. So I'm not going to say there isn't any competition.
And what's the demand like for Peter? Like, if someone was to get into this now, would they be busy?
It's not something you can get into and learn it and go off and do it straight away. You need a good bit of experience to be able to do it.
Is the future bright for thatching?
There's a few issues with it at the minute. There's the whole insurance thing that's going on. Yeah, so if you know, they can't sell them, if the owner can't bloody, the new owner can't get insurance, they're not interested in buying it. So that's one of the major issues at the minute.
So we're here now on a site overlooking the water here. It's coming along. Talk to me about what you're working on today, Peter.
I originally thatched it in, I think, 2004. The customer just wanted it tidied up, so you know, we decided to go for the grant, and he got the grant. So it's basically, we're about two-thirds of the way through the job. We have all the back done there. This is oats. What we're putting, this, the straw that you're looking at there, is we're putting oats on the roof, but you can also put wheat on the roof as well. That's what I typically grow. And then the building will be finished off with a flush style twisted bobbin, which is basically a knot that sits at the top. It's a traditional Irish style finish.
And obviously you're going to be promoting it, but how does it compare to your standard roof, like your slates?
Yeah, so thatching is one of the best insulators. You wouldn't need to put, you know, any kind of insulation up in the attic there. It's just not needed. The work that I've been taught is lasting up to 25 to 30 years.
And you've a busy diary ahead. The future's bright for thatching in Ireland.
Yeah, 2 years work ahead of me. And then I have the other lads that work for me. I have them booked up for 6 months each. No, it's good. I'm thinking about slowing down because my body's not really able anymore. But, you know, my God, it's hard on the body.
And that's Master Thatcher Peter Childs ending that report on some of the traditional trades that are still very much alive in Ireland today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.